Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11 and just keep them open there. I want to talk about the end of carrying a burden. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, tonight we know that there are people here in this house that are carrying unnecessary burdens. Lord, they may have been imposed by themselves or the enemy, but we know that they are carrying a burden that they don't have to. I pray tonight that you, the great burden bearer, are going to set so many people free. That, Lord, burdens are going to be cast at Calvary tonight. And men and women are going to walk out of here light as a feather, knowing that they have been touched by God, set free, and on a pathway to righteousness. We thank you for what you're going to do tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, somebody has said that a picture is worth a thousand words. And it's true. There's Time magazine, other magazines will give you the year in a glance, and you'll have all of these photographs throughout the year which have impacted stories or nations and people who have impacted nations. And it's true, we can look at those pictures, and there are some that have forever been etched in our mind that have taken place years and years ago in Vietnam, and people, you know, there's pictures that just, you know, bring back memories. Now, while a picture is worth a thousand words, there are some pictures that can never replace the word pictures of the Bible. You need to read it to see it. You can't paint it. You can't take a photograph of it. The Bible gives you some word pictures that are amazing. If we had to read the scriptures concerning the time that Jesus walked into the temple on one occasion, the sun that day had risen like it normally did in the east, as it has done for a millennia gone by, and everybody saw it as a brand new day. But when Jesus walked into that temple area one day, and he'd looked around, we heard this on Tuesday night by Pastor Teresa, and he looked around, the next day he came in, and the same day the sun came up, and he walks into this place, and the commotion. And I often, when I read the scriptures, and I think of the people on the outside, who suddenly begin to hear, and they see pigeons flying into the air. They start hearing tables being turned over and yells and shouting. And Jesus has come into this temple area, and he has turned over the tables. He's opened up the cages of those doves that were being sold for sacrifices. And the commotion that is going on, it's word pictures that you can see the action taking place. Nothing has happened like this in years. And suddenly one man comes in and everything begins to change. Everything is just turned over. There is one line, one verse of scripture in one of the Gospels that arrested my heart in this story. Let me read it to you. It's in this occasion that Jesus is going into the temple area, turning up over all the tables. And there's one verse in one gospel, and let me tell you what it says. It says, "And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple." So as much as he was turning over the tables, and he was, you know, letting the doves go, and he was, and all this commotion was going on, one of the things that he did was he stopped the people who were carrying vessels through the courtyard of the Temple Mount. He just stopped them. He says, "No, you're not going to pass through with that burden on your shoulders. You're not passing through with that vessel on your shoulders at all." And he stopped them from traveling through. Now, some of them there were bringing in merchandise for the priests. They were replenishing that which was being sold that particular day. And so there were some were so-called legitimately from the priests given access to come into this temple area and bring back merchandise that was needed to be replenished. But then once you open the door to a small area, it becomes a huge commotion. And over a period of time, the shortcut from one side of Jerusalem to the other was, it was easier to go through the temple carrying these, the merchandise that you had for maybe another store on the other side of town. And Jesus saw this. He saw that the very place that was held sacred, or should have been held sacred, has now become common ground. That anybody can just carry a burden through it, this place at will and at random. And it spoke to me that in today, that these people, these porters carrying these vessels, it's a picture of all of us. We are like people carrying vessels, and whatever comes our way, we just seem to keep filling up these vessels with whatever comes to us. And here are these people going through this, and Jesus stops them and says, no, you're not going to come through here any longer. And it just spoke to me how that God, He knows that our lives are like vessels that we just fill whatever we can. Some of it's imposed upon us. And I think of when we're born with a sin nature. We can't help but carry that vessel with the knowledge that there's a sin nature within us. We sin because we are sinners. And we carry this sin nature about with us as this vessel. We're just carrying it through the temple yards. We go to places we want to be free. But it seems like there's no place to set people free from carrying these burdens until Jesus shows up. Until Jesus begins to say, no, you don't have to carry this any longer. And you see, beloved, when I think of the sin nature that we've got, it doesn't take a scientist to recognize that we sin because we're sinners. Just this last couple of weeks, I've had my son and daughter-in-law staying with us with my four grandchildren. And it's been a delight to have them in the household. But when you've got these four little children in your household, you begin to see their little natures begin to emerge. And this one morning, we're calling out to Felicity. She's the third down. She's 3 years old, and she's the third born. And she's a cute little kid. And so, has anybody seen Felicity? No, we haven't seen Felicity. We'll call for her. So we started calling for Felicity. Nobody can find Felicity. Where she's got to. And then we hear this little voice down in the basement. And so we go down to the basement to see what Felicity is doing. And she had found a packet of marshmallows. And she knew if she asked to eat sugar with her mom and dad, the answer was going to be no. If she asked grandma, the answer is always yes. But she found this packet of marshmallows, and she was in the basement, and she was eating the marshmallows. You see, beloved, just in a simple way, you don't have to teach them how to do wrong. It's inherent within us. And we carry this inherent sin as a burden in our lives. We all sin because we're sinners. We do wrong because we're sinners. We go on life and it's just like whatever comes our way, we keep putting into this vessel that is, you know, that we're carrying. There's religion. We try religion to get us free from these things. Jesus dealt with religion. He said about what was taking place in his day. He said, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And so when you try religion to get free from the burden that you've been carrying for all of your life, how do you get free of this burden, this vessel that you've gone through the courtyards and of the temple and nothing seems to change? It was common ground. People were going backwards and forwards. It seemed like nothing could change what was taking place in that day until Jesus shows up and stops. And beloved, when you take a look and see the vessels just filled with religion, another translation says, they crush you with impossible religious demands and never lift a finger to help ease the burden. Religion can't set you free from the things that you're carrying around in your life. You can't do it. Religion can't set you free from these things. There's also imposed things that we start carrying, things that we just pick up along the way, that maybe it's a pain, a resentment, a bitterness that we begin to just keep piling into this vessel of our life. And we, by the time, you know, we deal with people at the end of their life, they're so filled with different things in their heart and their lives. It just spews out bitterness and resentments. It's like self-imposed things that you pick up along the way and you just put into your life. And you think that it's going to satisfy you, and it never does. I remember this one time we were standing watching a few guys. They had these weapons, and they were loading them. And this, my wife and I were just watching. We're standing back there watching these guys load this weapon. One gun goes off. Bang, boom. Everybody stops and looks around. And then this one guy looks down, looks at his foot, and here comes this blood oozing out of his boot. He'd shot himself in the foot. It was an accident. But see, that's what we do in life. We go along, and we do things, not realizing that the very things that we are doing are adding to a burden already that we cannot carry. We can't carry religion. It's too heavy for us to bear. Our iniquities, the Bible goes on to say, Psalm 38, verse 4, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." The things that we do, the things that are wrong, and we just pile them into our lives, it's just too heavy. The psalmist says these burdens are too heavy for you to bear. The iniquities that you commit are too heavy for you to bear. There's got to be some kind of relief. There's got to be some relief somewhere that God can take these burdens from off of our shoulders. I think of the kind of burdens that begin to characterize you. It's little things that you become characterized by what you're carrying around in your life. And people begin to see what are those things that seemingly are important to you that begin to characterize your life. We all understand it. We've all had a self-image of what we think we'd like to be and what we like to become. A person who told too many lies is known as a liar. A person with too many angry outbursts is known as an angry person. If you get caught in a petty crime or drugs, you're known as a jailbird or a criminal. These are the things that begin to characterize people's lives. You bump into somebody and you soon learn about what's going on in their lives, and they are characterized by the very things that they've embraced or imbibed. One or two marriages end in divorce and you're known as a loser. You go to too many parties and too many clubs, you're known as a clubber or a party animal. You become a car salesman, you're known as a crook. You achieve a place in high office, and you're known as a person who could be proud or arrogant. It just, wherever you go, whatever you do, the things that you embrace and put into your life begins to characterize you. You begin to look like the very things that you're getting involved in. I've spoken to people and counseled with people so many times, and you look into the eyes, and it's just dark inside there because they've embraced something that has caused a darkness to come into their soul. And it's characterized them. Marriages break up. Homes break up. There was this one occasion that I went to court for a man who came to our church. And he was an alcoholic. He came to church, and while in one of the services, he came forward. We always have altar calls. And this is a few years back in one of the earlier churches we pastored. And this man was an alcoholic. He came to the altar on one time that we preached the gospel, and he responded, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he got wonderfully saved. But he was in the midst of a bitter divorce case. And it was so bitter. There was lawsuits left and right. And this man had been absolutely changed, transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a moment of time, his life was handed over to Jesus, and he was set free from the power of alcohol. He attended services. He began to get discipled. And during the course of this time, he asked me if I would go with him to the courts with him as he began to face these things that his wife was accusing him of. And it was a difficult situation. I said, sure, I'll go with you. And I remember this sitting down there waiting for the courts to open, and the lawyer came in, and her lawyer came in who was representing her, and came over, and I had a suit on and a tie on, and Maybe I look like a lawyer, I don't know. But she came over to me and said to me, who are you? And so I said, well, I'm this gentleman's pastor. And the moment I said that to her, it says, oh no, you are compiling problem onto problem. This man is an alcoholic and we've taken him to the cleaners, and now you are compiling one problem after another problem onto his life. And the exchange went back and forth, and she began just to deride me. And I remember saying to her, I had this thing, I was just a new pastor, and I had this thought that if you rebuke someone, they fall over or something happens. So I said to her, I said, this conversation was going on, and she was deriding the church, deriding, this is the worst thing that could happen. He is going to go to the cleaners. We take him to the cleaners. And I just said to her, I rebuke you. And I think she was going to fall off her chair and the case was going to be over and we'd win. So she looked at me, she says, well, okay, go ahead and rebuke me. So I said, I have. And so she said, oh, okay. It's almost like my heart sank at that moment. I'm thinking, where is the power of God when you need it? I still had to go into a court with this gentleman who they had a file this big. And I remember this day as clear as it was yesterday. I went in with that man, and I tell you, my heart sank because the rebuke didn't work. I'm thinking to myself, do we know lawyer? We're just two people. And we come before the judge. The judge permitted me to say something, as he began to speak, he said, I allow you to speak on his behalf. What would you like to say? And all I began to say to the judge was, this man was an alcoholic. Everything that has been leveled against him is true. This is what he was, but he is not this anymore. This man has given his life to Jesus Christ, and he is a different person today. This man is changed. Hallelujah. That judge, by the time that we got into the proceedings, that judge began just to back away from everything. And the court went so well for this man. It was unbelievable what God did. God came to the rescue. Even when we think an impossible situation is before us, God comes through. On the basis of the testimony that this is what he was, this was the burden that he carried, this is what characterized his life, this is what he kept putting into his life. But Jesus stopped him one day and said, no, you don't have to carry these burdens any longer. I'm going to give you a new life. Hallelujah. And this is what God promises us. Sometimes we have to lay down that image of what we think that we are before we see God working through us. I was reading an article on a person by the name of William Gladstone. He was the Prime Minister of England, and he was the Prime Minister four times during the reign of Queen Victoria. As I was reading this article, you can look it up on Wikipedia and see what was, what kind of a prime minister that he was. He was a strong Christian man, and a Protestant and a Christian. And yet, as in his early part of being a prime minister, he was maybe he saw himself as the prime minister and didn't relate to people. And as a Christian, he was in a very tough situation. He was writing at 2 o'clock in the morning. He was writing out a speech that he was going to present to Parliament so that he could win some kind of legislation the next day. It was very important for him. 2 o'clock in the morning, it still wasn't through. He still hadn't finished writing the document down. And there came a knock on the door. And when he went to the door and he opened up, there was a close neighbor lady had come to his household and said to him, would you come and see my son? He's dying. And it's like, well, don't you know I'm the prime minister? It's these calls. I've got an important speech that I've got to write. It's some of these things, the burdens that we carry. Sometimes we carry these images about who we are, and we miss what God has in store for us. We miss what God wants to do in and through our lives if we would let Him. But we get this image, we get this sense of what we think and who we are, but until, like Earl was sharing a testimony tonight, we see what we think that we are, but it's only when we come into the purposes of God, when God is allowed to come into our lives, that we begin to see life as it truly is, that God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And so here's this prime minister, 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's got this speech to write, and it's easy to dismiss this lady. He doesn't do these kinds of house calls. He doesn't go and visit people. Yet he's a Christian. And yet he's got this image about who he is. And he's a very strong individual. But he gets up. He lays his pen down. And he gets up and he goes to the woman's house. And I'm not sure. There's no documentation on it, written documentation, that this was the turning point in his life. But I somehow think it may have been the seed that caused him to become greatly used later on by God. And so he gets up and he goes with this woman to the boy, to her house. And true, that the boy is dying. I don't know what sickness he had. He's dying. And he sat there. And he sat through the hours with this young boy. And in a moment of time, this boy became lucid. And for a moment of time, he began to understand everything that this Prime Minister, William Gladstone, was communicating to him. And in that moment of time, he took the boy's hand and he said, "I want to introduce you to Jesus." And he began to pray. And he said to the boy, "I want you to pray a prayer with me." And he led that young boy to Jesus Christ. And the young boy gave his life to the Lord, and in a moment of time, he slipped back into unconsciousness, and Gladstone stayed with him, and by the morning hour, when the sun rose up that day, the boy slipped into eternity. And he was challenged, he was touched by the fact that eternity was so close to a soul. And if he had insisted on, you know, the saying, "This is who I am, and I don't go visit," there would have been a soul that would have may have slipped into eternity without Jesus Christ. He went to Parliament that day, and in Parliament he won a tremendous success. By the time he got into his fourth term, he was so moved upon that this man, his influence, he began to rescue women of the streets. And he set up a home for them that women from the streets could be saved. They could come into a place and that they can be touched by God and they can go on with life as a rehabilitated individual. A ministry was birthed out of a man who took the time just to lay down his image of himself and say, "I'm putting this down. I'm going to do what God is asking me to do." And a life has changed. Beloved, hear me tonight. You are carrying a burden. Your life is like a vessel. There's sin, inherent sin, burdens that you've placed in, ideals that you have laid a hold of, things you've embraced, and you're not free. How can you be set free? How can you be set free? How can you allow Jesus to stop you from going any further and having your life changed? Well, let me just read a couple of scriptures to you. This is your part. So, well, what is my part? I do want to see a change in my life. Well, what is my part? What is God asking of me? Listen to this verse of scripture. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee." Your responsibility is just to cast your burden. You just come and say, God, I can't do anything. I can't change anything about my life. I come and I cast my burden at your feet. That's your part. That's what God asks of you. Just come and acknowledge, I'm a sinner. Just acknowledge it and cast that burden to the ground. And the psalmist says, he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God's part is Psalm 81, verse 61. Verse 6. He says, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. So God's part is to take the burden from you. When they were in Egypt, God delivered them from carrying those burdens. It's a type, it's a picture. God set them free. God delivered them. That's God's part. Your part is to give it to him. God's part is to set you free. And the psalm says he'll deliver you. He'll set you free. And then the Bible goes on to say in Matthew chapter 11, and this is where I had you open, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're tired of carrying the burden, if you're tired of carrying that sin, those things that you've embraced, if you're tired of it, Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, folks, tonight, you know who you are. You know you've been carrying a burden of sin. You can't change. You've tried. You've tried every single thing. You can't change. Tonight is the night that you come. And Jesus just gently stops you and says, you don't have to carry this burden another step forward. Cast it at the cross. Receive by faith his life, and he will set you free from the power of indwelling sin. Amen? Who can deliver me? Paul cried out one time, who can deliver me from this body of sin? And he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can set you free from the power of any burden that you've been carrying. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you didn't permit them to carry a burden. I know it's just a picture, it's a type, but you stopped them from carrying that burden. And tonight, I pray that there are men and women in this house. They've been carrying a burden for a long time. They've tried religion and it got heavier. They tried something else and it just got heavier until it was too heavy for them to bear. Tonight I pray that you're going to set them free. Their part is to give it to you. Now tonight, Lord, I pray that you will set them free. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you just to stand to your feet. And I'm going to, don't move, don't set about heading out to the doors, just stand to your feet. How many tonight, you know that you have been carrying a burden and you want to be free? You know that you're a sinner. It's maybe even characterized you in one way or another, and you want to be set free of that tonight. If you want to receive Jesus Christ and be free of the burden of sin, I'm going to ask you simply, just put your hand straight up in the air. Just put it straight up in the air. Put your hand straight up. Don't be ashamed. Jesus was not ashamed of you. He wants to release you of your burden of sin. You know that you're a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to ask you to do a second thing. You can put your hand down. Just go to the aisle. Just simply go to the aisle. And we're going to sing a song and we're going to wait for you right here at this altar. And we're going to pray for you. Come to the front of the church here, and we're going to pray with you. Now, if you raised your hand, take the courage of your convictions now. Just step out. You come to this altar, and we'll pray with you to receive Jesus Christ. And that burden, your responsibility, cast it down, and he'll set you free. He'll come into your life and give you a new life tonight. Let's sing a song. How many of you are here for the first time to say, I need Jesus Christ in my life? You raise your hand if that's you. If this you've never received Jesus and you want Jesus Christ in your life tonight, just put your hand straight up. And I know others are here because you've got, you know, burdens that you want to give to the Lord. But God sees these hands of these people here who need Jesus Christ to come into their life for the first time. And it's an amazing miracle that you just give it to God, receive Him as your Savior, and your life is changed. Jesus comes into your life. God comes into your life. All those old tables and everything, you know, all turned over, all the things you've embraced, He takes the burden off and He just takes it away from you. And let Him resolve the miracles. Let Him do the miracles in your life. And immediately after I've prayed for you tonight, down in the lower lobby of the church, there are men and women who are waiting to continue to pray with you if you would like prayer tonight. Now, some of you may not even have a Bible. They'll give you a Gospel of John. They'll encourage you how to read, how to pray. So I just want to let you know that in the lower lobby, after the service, we'll sing a song, but after the service, you're free to go down there, and they'll stand with you, pray with you. Now, the rest of you, how many are coming back to the Lord? You know that you've walked away and that you've just are coming back to the Lord tonight. Okay. And others of you just got burdens on your heart, right, that you want to give to God. Well, let's pray first with those who want to give their life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. And remember, it's not my prayer that can change you. It's by faith you are receiving Jesus Christ into your life. Pray this prayer with me, those at the altar. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. If I were to die tonight, I know I would not go to heaven. Lord, I give you my burden, my sin, those things I've embraced that are not of you. I give them to you. I confess them as sin, and I give them to you. Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my life, to forgive me of all of my sin, to cleanse me and make me a new person tonight. Lord, I believe that I have received you. I am now forgiven, and I can proclaim that I am a child of God, and I thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God thanks, beloved. Amen. Let me pray for those that are coming back to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the great burden bearer. There are those coming back tonight. They've stepped away from walking with you, but Lord, you drew them into this house. And now they cast their burden to the cross as well. And Father, I thank you that you are restoring men and women back to yourself in fellowship right now. I thank you, Lord, that you've done it. You've spoken into their hearts, and that you've brought them back to yourself. Lord, for all those that are carrying a burden tonight that is too heavy for them, we don't even want to begin to enumerate what they might be. They know what it is. And by faith, Lord, as they just give you that burden right now, just place it at the cross, you set them free. Lord, there are miracles that will be needed here tonight. I ask that there'd be miracles of changed lives. There'd be miracles, Lord, performed by your Holy Spirit. Let faith arise right now. There are some people who are so locked in a prison cell that they don't even know how that these circumstances are ever going to change. Lord, you are the God of the supernatural. You are the God of the miraculous. And I thank you tonight that even now you are beginning to work on their behalf. Lord, we don't even want to think how you're going to do it. We're just going to trust that our God is going to lead us into victory. Hallelujah. We believe it with all of our heart. And we give you thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.